Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The new trade agreement still needs to be confirmed and voted upon by the United States Senate, but it's one that had been negotiated with Mexico and Canada, and it is a significant improvement on the previous trade agreement called NAFTA. This agreement, however, has some concerning provisions with regards to sexual orientation and gender identity. We're going to be talking about it on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber, the founder of BarbedWire.com, and Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Counsel. Well, Donald Trump has greatly improved trade with Mexico and Canada. One provision, however, should not be in this proposed trade agreement. The Senate Foreign Relations Committee, which has to review this and then the full Senate has to vote on it, should remove sexual orientation and gender identity from Articles 23.9 and 23.15. Those need to be removed because this has no place in a trade agreement, Matt. These are social engineering policies that may have slipped in through the Office of U.S. Trade Representative under pressure from Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau.
That's right. And these terms, sexual orientation, gender identity, don't even have force of federal law. I mean, they're relatively new constructs. They're not covered in Title VII. They're not covered in Title IX. So there's no business for the United States to engage in this type of social engineering when it's not even part of our own federal makeup.
Yeah, and in fact, these articles, 23.9, 23.1, et cetera, it's got sub-points to it. This deals with the parties recognize the goal, and I'm reading from it, of eliminating sex-based discrimination in employment and occupation and support the goal of promoting equality of women in the workplace. Accordingly, and here's some of the concerning language, each party shall implement policies that protect workers against employment discrimination on the basis of sex, including with regards to pregnancy, sexual harassment, sexual orientation, gender identity, and caregiving responsibilities, provide job-protected leave for birth or adoption of a child, and care of family members, and protect against wage discrimination.
Well, that sounds like this policy becomes a social policy
instead
of a trade agreement.
Yeah, sexual orientation.
A whole different agenda going on here, guys.
What does that have to do with trade?
Sexual orientation, gender identity don't even have anything to do with biological sex. It's apples and oranges.
It's like they're sneaking this agenda in
slowly
and quietly.
So if this is actually ratified, this becomes what's called the supreme law of the land. Treaties, like the Constitution, in the Constitution, are referred to as the supreme law of the land. Mm-hmm. The supremacy clause would elevate any treaty to that level. What does that mean? Well, if it's the supreme law of the land, what happens to federal law that mm-hmm. doesn't include this? What happens to state law that is contrary or doesn't include these provisions? What this would do is, Matt, it would, as you know, this ENDA, Employment Non-Discrimination Act, which is what the Democrats, under now Speaker Pelosi, said is going to be one of their first orders of business. That provision that's always failed says that you will amend the Title VII to include sexual orientation and gender identity. None of that has ever been able to get passed by Congress. But now you have a treaty, if this is voted upon by the Senate and ratified, that becomes the supreme law of the land. What are they going to say? Well, they're going to come back and say, we've got to do this. And that's why this is so problematic. And it's not just Title VII. It's going to be Title IX for schools across the board, state, local, contractors, contracting. It's going to have a widespread impact.
But this
so
is
it's an end around.
A trade agreement about commerce. What does that have to do with sexual orientation?
It is an end around. And in fact, members of Congress have already wrote a letter. We provided this information early on to members of Congress and members of the House side. They wrote a letter to President Trump urging him to remove the troubling language. The letter in part states this, quote, "At the same time, your administration is carrying out a cohesive agenda regarding policies surrounding sexual orientation and gender identity in the Department of Justice and Health and Human Services. Specifically, it is deeply troubling that the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative has included contradictory language in the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement," close quote.
Yeah.
And that's what I think happened is, Matt, the Office of U.S. Trade Representative, maybe that's still some hangover of what people call the deep state.
The deep state, yeah. And this is an end around the legislators, the constitutional process. It's an end around relative to the clear legislative intent of Title VII, Title IX. Of federal law, and what the Trump administration is doing to sew up the legislative intent and to make sure that this kind of activism doesn't take place administratively. And this would upend all of that and basically discard the constitutional process altogether.
And in fact, they actually said, we've already rejected this as Congress, and this would actually try to impose something that we have rejected and have never accepted. And in fact, they said, quote, "A trade agreement is no place for the adoption of social policy. It is especially inappropriate and insulting to our sovereignty to needlessly submit to social policies which the United States has so far explicitly refused to accept." And they did reject these kinds of amendments to federal law. And so here, I think you got the U.S. Office of Trade Representative. These are people that are in their for life, many of them. Mm-hmm. And we've seen some of the deep state problems, how they try to do things on their own and they think that they're the elected officials. If you look at President Donald Trump's trajectory, his past history on this issue of sexual orientation and gender identity, he has done away with the unconstitutional Obama provisions for Title IX, dealing with public employment. Obama tried to force schools to include gender identity. He has done away with that through the Department of Education. And then in the military, he did away with Obama's effort to try to make that a social engineering program and train it and turn it into a pro-transgender social club. He did away with that. And so, and you look at all of his actions, it's gone one way in a common sense constitutional way. And now this trade agreement, which is really good, by the way, a big improvement over the previous NAFTA, has these two provisions stuck in it.
The Trojan horse there. It needs to
go
exactly. As well.
Yeah, it is. It, I think that's really the best way to kind of conceptualize this is it's a Trojan horse. So we have been urging members of Congress, particularly now the Senate. The House has already, through many of their members, written a letter to President Trump, but the House doesn't vote on this. So we're glad that they wrote a letter and that it's getting the attention. But the one chamber that does vote on this is the U.S. Senate. First, it goes through the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and from there it goes to the full Senate. There's no scheduled vote on that yet, but it could come up even before the end of the year. We don't know when it's going to come up. It may move into 2019. We want to make sure that your voice is represented. And what we're urging the Senate Foreign Relations Committee and the Senate and certainly the administration to do is to nix those articles, remove them.
Remove the poison pill, yeah.
Absolutely. And so if you want to learn more about it, you can go to Liberty Counsel's webpage, lc.org. Under the alerts there on the front page, you can go into previous versions. November 19 is when we first released this information to the public. And you can read that. And I would encourage you to spread it around on your social media. If you want to be part of signing a petition, you can do that as well. We are working on a petition through Liberty Counsel Action. That's Liberty Counsel Action. You can go to Liberty Counsel Action or lcaction.org or lc.org. And up there where it says subscribe, you can subscribe to the Liberty Counsel Action emails. And that's where we are asking people, when we're sending out emails, to sign a petition to make your voice known. This is a very significant, serious issue, because if it's ratified, it will have long-term, widespread consequences. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. Remember Liberty Counsel in your prayers and financial support, especially at this time of year. This is the best time of year to be able to support Liberty Counsel and recommit to 2019. lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation. lc.org.